Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Sinead Chase Clifford. We've been talking to her about why she's running for Congress. Sinead, why didn't you run for the state legislature first?
My experience is congressional. And, you know, folks might say, you know, a lot of people are asking me what my experience is, but I really have an understanding of our federal process. And I also think that with this particular race, there is so much at stake, and really we don't get these opportunities too often as Vermonters. And I wanted to jump in to make sure that we have as robust of a conversation as possible about the future of our legislation and our representation as Vermonters. So that's why I jumped into this congressional race.
If you don't win, I'm not saying you won't, but if you don't, if you don't win, you know, will you be disappointed?
Well, of course, You know, I'm running to win. It's not the most fun thing to do just for kicks, I will say. So I am running to win. So if I didn't, you know, cross the finish line, I certainly would be somewhat disappointed, but also very proud already of being able to accomplish all that I have and being able to stand firmly in what I believe in and be able to have the conversations with Vermonters. So certainly there would be potentially a moment of disappointment, but I would be very excited to take the structure of my campaign and keep building in our state and continue to push for the things that I'm talking about in whatever title I'm able to hold, but certainly running to win.
So how would you characterize Congressman Peter Welch's 15 years in the House?
I appreciate Congressman Welch's service to our state, and I really admire the way that he's been able to connect with Vermonters. And as I talk to Vermonters across the state, that is something that I hear time and again, that they really appreciate how connective he's been. And that's something that I really strive to do too. And that's, you know, goes back to my background as a social worker, is really listening and connecting to people. And that's really what should be driving our policies, understanding what communities actually need and hearing that. So I know that that's something Vermonters feel strongly that Congressman Welch has been able to accomplish. And I've seen that, and I've seen that as well. And, you know, when I worked in the Hill too, there was certainly moments of partnership with his office as well. So I would characterize it as a legacy of real support and connection with Vermonters.
So let me ask you this. You're a student of social work, obviously of politics. Would you support Speaker Nancy Pelosi as the Democratic leader if elected?
That's a tough question because I have, you know, I'll be honest. Well, I don't really know another way to be. I have a lot of problems with our Democratic establishment. They haven't delivered on many of the key priorities that for decades they said they were going to deliver on. And it feels like we message, and by we, you know, the Democratic establishment, perhaps not we, has messaged on all of these really wonderful things. And it feels like the party is better at talking than doing. And so I would hope to have, you know, a conversation with the speaker and a better understand a deeper strategy that we don't get to see from the outside. But I'm someone who is going to make those decisions based on what is actually going to get done for Vermont's working families. So standing at this point, I don't want to just blanket say I will support whoever just because of the letter at the end of their name. But certainly know that the speaker has a vision that perhaps they don't fully understand and would want to have conversations about that.
So that leads me, of course, to the next Vermont perpetual question of, did you vote for Bernie Sanders in the 2020 and 2016 presidential primaries?
I did.
And do you support Bernie? We've interviewed him many times on this station, and therefore, I think, in fact, in this program, I think it's fair to ask you what your level of admiration is for him.
I think, well, this is public information. You can go and see who all of the candidates have ever donated to, and the only candidate I've ever donated to, you know, you can go through the FEC records, is Senator Sanders, even, you know, as a college student with very little with very little money. Yeah, he certainly speaks to, I think, many in my generation and is pushing for real systemic change. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean on every single piece of legislation presented we would move in the same way. But I very much admire the way he's able to talk about issues and particularly to stand up to corporations. And that's something that we see within both parties. Capitulation to money, to the real detriment and erosion of our communities. And I tremendously appreciate Senator Sanders' championship of working families.
We have what I would characterize, I don't want to put words in your mouth, as a right-wing Supreme Court right now. And we've just seen the leak of a document that purports to basically change women's access to abortion. And I'm wondering whether you'd like to say something about that.
There's so much to say. There's so much to say in so little time. It is incredibly enraging, but I think where so much of my frustration lies in our response. I've heard a lot of folks talk about how this is going to shift our political dynamics and the real political fallout, but this is so harmful for people. I think about the trauma of the post-traumatic stress that folks who have had abortions or have had struggles with their reproductive health, that all of these discussions have. I think about our trans and non-binary communities who already have such high barriers to achieving reproductive care, who are being left out of our conversations about reproductive health. And I think about really that people with means are going to continue to be able to access abortion care. And this is really harmful and a continued erosion of working families' access to comprehensive, excellent health care, which is inclusive of reproductive and abortion care. I will also say the last thing I will say, at least in this conversation we're having, is incredible frustration with politics as usual. For the past decade, and particularly since we have seen appointment after appointment onto the Supreme Court, advocates and activists have been saying we are going to see Roe fall. And we have not seen movement from Congress to do something about it. And we can. We have bills to codify Roe and to increase the access and protection of reproductive rights across our nation. And you know, I hear folks talk about all of these different things that we could do, but the political capital it would take to, you know, let's say expand the Supreme Court, we could use to abolish the filibuster. We could use to make sure the Women's Health Protection Act, which would codify Roe, passes the House and Senate and gets to the president's desk. And, you know, people ask me as a young person who's not served before, how I would have the political capital to do anything. Well, I see these folks who have decades of political capital being unable to deliver on these things that are widely popular throughout our nation. So that is something I'd be really excited and certainly be a champion of really pulling the focus and not shifting blame to, the Supreme Court. I suppose it's not a surprise to me, and that's why my frustration lies with the folks who have seen this coming down the pike for a number of years.
Shanae Chase Clifford is running in the Democratic primary for the designation to run for Congress on the Democratic side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.